You're listening to Play Therapy Community Podcast, episode 69.
Welcome to Play Therapy Community Podcast, providing connection, information, and inspiration to child therapists all around the world. Here's your host, a licensed psychotherapist, a registered play therapist, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
This episode is brought to you by Jackie Flynn Consulting. I provide consultation to EMDR therapists seeking support with challenging cases, desiring to hone their skills, or working towards certification. As a registered play therapist and an EMDRIA consultant in training, helping clinicians that work with children and adolescents is at the heart of my work. If you're already trained in EMDR therapy and you'd like some consultation support on how to use it best with kids, or specifically how to integrate it with play therapy techniques while still holding true to all eight phases of EMDR with fidelity, go to my website, Jackie Flynn Consulting, to schedule an appointment. I have a free download of a body scan PDF that I use with my child clients when we target somatic sensations in the body. You can find that at JackieFlynnConsulting.com as well. Now back to our episode. Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. Well, today is a very special episode. It's with Lisa Dion. She is the creator of Synergetic Play Therapy. She's also the founder of Play Therapy Institute of Colorado. And I am so excited to hear all about her work and to hear about Synergetic Play Therapy specifically. So, Lisa, let us have you introduce yourself so we can learn more about you. And let's just jump right in and start talking about Synergetic Play Therapy.
Awesome, Jackie. Thank you so much for the invitation to be on this really cool podcast. So, as you said, my name is Lisa Dion, and I did create Synergetic Play Therapy and also founded the Play Therapy Institute of Colorado. I'm also a mom. I have, in my clinical work, I was first introduced to play therapy back in my graduate program, so back in 2002, mm-hmm. and right from the beginning, loved it. I remember my first session with a kiddo and was just taken by how vulnerable and how amazing it was to connect with a young child, which honestly, I went into the field thinking I would just work with teens. So it almost caught me by surprise how much I really loved working with the little ones. And I've pretty much been full tilt ever since. My work has been private practice, also various settings from working in the schools to social services, foster care, adoption agencies. Also had the privilege of working in orphanages. So
lots of experience, it sounds like, different kinds.
And what I love, you know, we talk about play therapy, the play being such a universal language, and yes. Mm-hmm. it doesn't matter where I go, what setting I'm in. It's, you know, it's such a real thing, and I think we know that as play therapists, but mm-hmm. I'd love to have seen it firsthand that it truly is the universal language for kiddos.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine working with kids and helping kids and not having play therapy as a modality. I just wouldn't work nearly as well. So I love the name Synergetic Play Therapy. And I remember when I was introduced to that word. Can you tell us, like, how did you name this?
Yeah, I'll share about the name, and then I'll talk a little bit about the model too, because that'll help the name make sense. Mm-hmm. So one thing for your listeners to know about me is I like to think of myself as a little bit of a nerd in the sense of, you know, if you say the word brain, I'm probably on the edge of my seat. I love the brain. I love neuroscience. I love interpersonal neurobiology. I love understanding what's happening in the nervous system. It completely intrigues me and fascinates me, mm-hmm. you know, to the point where it's funny, I'll go on vacation with, you know, with my family, and I've had a couple family trips where I'm on the beach and my dad's looking over at me going, are you going to read a leisure book? And I'm thinking,
No, I need to finish this book on the brain. What are you talking about? This is my vacation. So
you're having fun right now.
This is my idea of a vacation. I get to learn about neurons. So that actually goes into a little bit about where the name came in, because as I was sitting with what I wanted to call what I was creating, and again, we can talk about what that is, I was really trying to feel into the essence of what my experience was in the playroom through the lens that I was looking in. And actually the word collaboration kept coming to mind. Mm-hmm. And it was not just a collaboration between me and the child. It went deeper than that. It was like the collaboration between my mind and my body, and the collaboration between my breath and the physical sensations in my body, and the collaboration between what was happening in my mind and the child's mind, and my breath and how that impacted their body, and vice versa. And it just felt like this giant collaborative dance that was happening in me, in the child, and between us. So that was like the essence of what I was going for. And then collaborative play therapy just doesn't sound cool.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring.
Doesn't really have the same ring. It wasn't really quite what I was going for. And so so really I went into looking at what are other words that have that same essence of collaboration. And I found the word synergy. Mm-hmm. And because I'm, you know, a nerd, I also study physics and things like that. And the word synergetic was actually a school of thought or a term that was coined by a famous physicist named Buckminster Fuller. Mm-hmm. And so immediately it was like goosey bumps because I've studied his work before. But what I love so much is as he describes what synergetic is and what synergy is it talks about this idea that it's the synergy between two parts, mm-hmm. right? That comes together, and it's the synergy that's created that is so much greater than what either part could ever be on its own. Mm. And so he used the word, it's the collaboration of parts. Mm. And I just loved it. And it made so much sense to that essence of what I was going for and what I truly feel like synergetic play therapy brings to the table. So that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about the collaboration of the different parts within the therapist, within the child, and then between us, which also now a lot of the work that's coming out in interpersonal neurobiology is talking mm-hmm. about, you know, the resonance between two people, what's happening in the energetic exchanges between two people.
Oh, yeah.
It just comes back to the synergy for me. So
I love that. Like when I first learned the word, I learned it like in a business setting and how we all can work together to create something that's greater than the sum of what we individually bring to the table. But when you like talk about, you know, the different parts, like just within the child, the somatic sensations and everything like that, that is so powerful. I can't think of a word that is more fitting for that, and you can really get so much further. I know if we were to just use words, we only get so far. If we just use somatic sensations, we're only going to get so far. If we just use parent consultation, we're only going to get so far. But when all of those things are together, it's like, wow, totally. A lot of healing can happen. That's beautiful. I love that you named it that.
And, you know, we talk about the neural integration that we're aiming for the child. I mean, that's the synergy. It's the synergy in the parts of the child's brain that are coming together to create that neural integration, you know, left hemisphere, right hemisphere collaboration, you know, top, you know, the top the hierarchy of the brain, right? Top down, right? Bottom up, however you want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Upstairs, downstairs. There's so many ways of talking about it. And it's the synergy, right? It's that they're... Yeah. Communication happening between all parts of the brain. There's a giant collaboration happening. So
I love mm-hmm. it. That makes me think of like I just saw Dr. Siegel in person, which was like an amazing day. But he talked about the importance of integration and how that it could just change the world. It sounds like that synergetic play therapy is really, that's like one of the biggies that it's aiming for, is integrating the brain.
It is. Which actually can speak to a little bit about, you know, like what it is. So I won't get into the full story. I actually have a video of the story of how synergetic play therapy came to be. And it was actually through a personal experience that I had with my own daughter when I was 29 weeks pregnant and I was in a car accident. Oh. I didn't deliver her, but she and I together had a profound experience in the hospital together where I experienced a really deep moment of what I now know is called co-regulation. And for me, up until that point, you know, I'd been a play therapist for many years at that point, and I loved the work that I did, as I had mentioned. And for me, something had felt missing. For me, that may not resonate for everybody, but for me, something had felt missing. And for me, what I realized was deeper levels of accessing myself, actually, what I discovered was missing in my play therapy work. And I really went on this journey to discover what does it take to rewire a child's nervous system? And what does it take to rewire, to truly embody what it means to be that external regulator in the room? So you can probably tell from the way I'm describing this, synergetic play therapy is just neuroscience, you know, all over the place. And what I so love about what's happening in the field right now is that what I learned in the experience with my daughter, and then went on to just devour books on the brain and nervous system and try to figure out how to incorporate some of what I'd been learning into the playroom, it really came from an intuitive felt sense, which was very much the right brain experience. And all of this amazing research that's coming out is giving the left brain language to that felt sense experience that I had with her and then I have in the playroom with the kiddos, which I just love. So when students study synergetic play therapy, we're studying interpersonal neurobiology and we're studying the nervous system and we're studying really what's in the way of becoming the external regulator. How do we become the external regulator? How do you repattern your own nervous system so that you can then hold the space and widen your own window of tolerance to support the child being able to move towards challenging experiences? So we move a layer below the metaphor or the story. Not that we don't bring that in, because we do, because it is important, but we perceive that the most important part is actually getting into the somatics and actually getting into that level of attunement that you'd find between a caregiver and an infant, right? We want to get way down into that brainstem. And so a lot of the philosophy and a lot of what we learn in synergetic play therapy is how to do that. Is how to, you know, kind of like, what does it take to get way down in there and help a child rewire from the bottom up?
I love that. I love that. And it seems like so thorough.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, my students have, because I've asked over the years, you know, what is this like for you? And what do you like about it? And what do you not like about it? And all that good stuff. And the most common feedback that I get from my students is that it almost doesn't feel like a play therapy model. It just feels like a way of being. Mm. And so it's almost like just a philosophy on how to be in relationship. It's like relationship one at a really deep level. And what they explain to me is that they find that they transform in the process and that then has a spillover effect into other areas of their life. They find that they relate to their partners or their own children differently because of the development. So it's very much, you know, for therapists that love the idea of transforming themselves to help another person, that's more of what this is about. It's not so much a list of techniques or a list of fun activities to do with the kiddo or something like that. It's more of developing a capacity within the self to show up in a particular way in the room. I had another student, which I love, this is probably my favorite quote. She said that synergetic play therapy gives birth to the authentic self within the child and the therapist.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Can you say that one more time? That is yeah. so kind of like robust. There's growth on both sides.
It is.
And healing.
So synergetic play therapy gives birth to the authentic self within the child and the therapist.
That's so good.
It's so good. I love it. Yes. And it's again, it just goes back to, it's more of a way of being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had some people, you know, get curious about, you know, is this an advanced way of being? Like, is this, do people have to study basic play therapy skills first? And I'm a firm believer that all is needed. And this is one part of the puzzle. And so I think that, you know, there's a, there are foundational skills that are needed from, you know, other play therapy models. And then I think we also offer foundational play therapy skills as well. And so even with my students, I'm constantly encouraging my students to study as many models as possible, because it's the synergy. Right? It's being able to understand and pull from various philosophies to figure out how to maximize the relationship. I don't know, to me, that's just one of the most important parts about being a play therapist. So it's a foundational and it's advanced. I don't know, you know, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's both. It's both. There's so many things that I want to say about synergetic play theory. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it kind of grew out of just your passion of learning how to help. You're already into just play therapy in general, but you took it to that deeper level and just let your passion drive you, and this is where it landed.
Now, this is where it landed, yeah.
I love that quote too about giving birth. It sounds like just such a growth, like having that that healing happen and that connection, the attunement you mentioned, like kind of like a mother and a child, you know, infant baby, that attunement at the brainstem level, getting that's where true healing can occur. And I think so many of the kids, and just not even just kids, people have these pre-verbal traumas that they don't have words for, and that can really get to that deep level of pain to help heal it.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the pieces that we try to grasp onto, is that understanding that, you know, the brain is mostly wired in its patterning, like 80% by the time a child is 3. Mm-hmm. And so if we're engaging in therapies that aren't getting into the somatics, mm-hmm. we actually are missing something. Because most of what the child is coming into the playroom with is all the implicit memory. It's the body memory. It's the felt sense in their body. You know, sometimes the play is literal, and often it's not. Often it's a feeling, it's a sense, it's an experience, but not so much a literal experience, because that's not the part of the brain that was formed quite yet in their patterning. So it is, it's important to us to get down into the depths of the child's brain.
And I know we have emotional memories, like implicit memories, for 6 months in utero. So absolutely. I think about your experience, your little girl, you know, and you guys experienced that together, and she was definitely in the womb. It's still, people think, well, they don't remember it, so it didn't occur, you know, they don't have that verbal memory of it, and they can't pull it up, so they're okay. But it still shows up, kind of like in the Body Keeps the Score book, he talks about, if you don't remember it cognitively, your body still knows.
My daughter, so when my daughter was born, she was born incredibly dysregulated due to what had happened. And then there was a lot of anxiety at the end of the pregnancy because of what happened and all of that. And then there were some complications in the birth. And I mean, really, she's the one that sent me on the journey to begin to put this puzzle together because I wanted to help her is really where this came from. And in that process of discovering what it takes to, you know, to help rewire and redo her nervous system, she and I went through a couple rounds of play therapy ourselves. And her first play therapy experience, she was 9 months old. And so there weren't words. But what she would do in the playroom was she would play out shock over and over and over and over and over again. So she was actually literally playing out the somatic feeling of what the car accident felt like for her. And that was a pattern that she was recreating also, right, in her, just in her daily life, was this just sudden shock and overwhelm. There are no words for that. It's just a felt sense. And what it took was for me to position myself in such a way where I could actually experience it with her in order to then co-regulate. So that's another piece about synergetic play therapy, is it's this understanding that there is an exchange happening between the therapist and the child. And this whole idea that somehow I'm not going to be impacted by the child's play, it doesn't actually make sense in neuroscience. And in my opinion, we're missing a piece. You cannot check yourself at the door. It's not possible, right? You have a nervous system, you're a human being. So when we're playing with children, we are going to feel it. We're going to feel the impact. We're going to feel the sadness, the anger, the anxiety, the control. We're going to feel it because we're human. And I think one of the places that synergetic play therapy does a really great job at is it teaches the therapist what to do with that versus just pretend like you're not having the experience, or just then go to supervision and talk about it in supervision or whatever. But there is this process, just like we teach parents with their infant, you know, we actually, in the field, we teach parents, you need to work with yourself first. Before you go and pick the baby up, right? You need to get yourself into a place where you can regulate the baby. And we haven't quite made that jump yet in the play therapy world. And so I think that's one of the places that we do synergetic play therapy tries to address, is what does the play therapist need to do in the moment to help become that external regulator so they can metaphorically go rock the baby, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and I think about they can feel us. We're wired to be social beings. They can feel it. And that's part of the healing.
Yep. And so if we're denying our experience, if we're pretending like we're fine when we're not, that actually can create a sense of fear actually inside of the inside of the child, because we're not congruent in the playroom, and we're not managing our own internal state. And so that synergetic play therapy, that's the world right there, right? That's that zone, right? That zone of what's ours, what's mine, what's yours, what do I do with mine? How do I support your integration? Like that whole gray area, that's synergetic play therapy land right there.
Now I know too, you provide trainings and everything like that. So to really kind of get a good feel for it, you know, it's hard to do that in a couple of minutes. Imagine that if I was to observe a session, give me a little bird's eye view of what it might look like. Does it look different than, say, child-centered or Adlerian?
It does. The therapist uses themselves a lot more than maybe in other models, which is controversial, and I totally get that it's controversial. So you're going to see the therapist actually become the regulator. So you're going to see the therapist actually maybe breathing and moving and doing a lot of modeling to the child. What what to do. So in the moment when the anxiety is in the room, the therapist is actually going to take the breath and even name the anxiety so that the child is able to borrow the therapist's nervous system and regulatory capacity in the moment. So we really are grasping onto the mirror neuron system and understanding how that part of it works. And so, you know, the edgy part of synergetic play therapy is that the therapist may say things in the room where you may go, oh, is the therapist allowed to say that out loud? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, the therapist is being incredibly authentic, right?
Yes.
And congruent. And so what you're going to see is probably just a deeper level of the therapist's use of self. Mm-hmm. And as a, again, much like we teach parents to do, you know, we teach parents to really embody the moment with the child and to name their experience and to move and to breathe and all of that.
And truly be present.
Truly be present, which is different than just holding space. It's probably a different level of engagement in the room. So that's probably what you're going to see is you're going to see the therapist moving more. I rock, sometimes I breathe, sometimes I rub my legs as a way to keep a regulatory, how do I say that? Keep a certain level of regulation happening in my own nervous system so mm-hmm. that I can hold what's happening for the child. And then, actually, you know what, Jackie, I want to share a quick
sure.
little story. Just to highlight this, because I think it's important if the listeners can visualize this. Mm-hmm. So I was working with a kiddo, and this kiddo came in because he had generalized fears, scared of what seemed like most everything. Mm-hmm. And his mom, at that point, had kind of had it. You know, she was fed up with the whole process. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got a sense that there probably wasn't a lot of room in this kiddo's life to continue to say, I feel scared or I feel mm-hmm. nervous and that kind of thing. So this child would come into the room and he would create all kinds of play to set me up to just be terrified. Mm-hmm. And, down to there are invisible ghosts flying around you with, you know, weapons and they can kill you at any moment kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I found myself engaging in the play, right? In that dramatic play, I found myself modeling the regulation. So just instinctually, I would put my hand on my heart and my hand on my stomach, and I would take a deep breath, and I have an authentic response saying something like, I'm scared, right? But it wasn't role playing. It was actually embodying the moment, right?
Yeah.
I found myself sort of holding on to, again, my heart and my stomach, and even like gently rocking, just modeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
How you stay connected to yourself in the midst of anxiety. And we were at the beginning of session 3, and we were over near the sand tray, and he took a little boy figurine, and then he took a snake, and he put the snake in the sand behind the little boy. So it was like going to come up and scare the little boy. Mm-hmm. So once again, bringing to life in that room the feeling of the fear, right, and the anxiety and all of that. And let me just say that every time beforehand that I had said something around the anxiety, he would say something like, whatever, it's just play, making fun of me, that kind of thing, which was his world, right? Mm-hmm. It was his world. He wasn't allowed to express his own fear and anxiety and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And at session 3, I had an honest response, and I said, kind of whispered to him, I said, I feel that feeling again, right? I feel, I'm watching this. I feel nervous for that little boy, right, in the sand, but I'm afraid I can't say it. I'm afraid I'm not allowed to say that.
Mm.
And it was really authentic.
Yes.
And at that point, he literally looked at me, and he goes, I know what to do when I get scared. Now, mind you, up until that point, in the midst of him going, we're just playing, he'd also go, I'm not afraid of anything, you know. Mm-hmm. That kind of
thing. So he never even, like, identified himself as being scared or said it.
No, he would just dismiss what he was trying to get me to experience. And I said, you do. And no joke, he stood up, he looked at me, and he goes, watch. And he took a deep breath, and he put one hand on his heart.
Oh.
Put one hand on his belly.
Mm.
So he literally borrowed my nervous system for 2 sessions, watched how I handled the experience in the room, right? And internalized, this is what I can do. I can take the deep breath. I can stay connected to myself. I can hold on to myself. And And that was that. And that's what, it was amazing. And that's what we find over and over again in synergetic play therapy, is that the child literally borrows the therapist's regulatory capacity. Mm-hmm. And it's through that process, the nervous system begins to get rewired, and the child learns some pretty phenomenal coping strategies organically.
Yeah, organically. And it sounds like experientially, he is like watching you, you're modeling it for him, but it goes deeper than that. He's feeling that.
He's feeling it. And the gift to the therapist is that the therapist's nervous system doesn't get shot, because the therapist had to regulate themselves and work what was happening in their own nervous system, so that the therapist isn't leaving the session at the end having held all of that and then wondering why they're going home at night exhausted and having nightmares, right? Mm. They actually got to work their own system alongside the child's nervous system, which is what was needed for that co-regulation.
Yeah, that's incredible. Boy, I have to say that I'm learning about it just like the listener. So it sounds amazing. I think about going home and having nightmares and having like the images and the thoughts kind of haunt you after sessions. That's definitely happened to me. And I love that you have that bit through this that's built in to help the therapist kind of be able to process through that. And then they can be as present and helpful to the next client and not have it hold them back in life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, this is beautiful, Lisa. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Now, I know you gave us a lot of information today, but I have a feeling that there's a lot more. Where can people go to find information about synergetic play therapy, maybe the trainings? You mentioned webinars, things like that.
So I have a couple cool things that are out there. So for those of you that just want more, and it's synergetic inspired, if you will, but not so much synergetic play therapy, is I also have a podcast called Lessons from the Playroom. It's a bi-weekly podcast. And then there is a once a month, there's an hour live webinar with me where you can also get a 24-hour playback. And we do all kinds of really cool topics on that. So those are both free and fun, just, you know, more information, which Jackie, I know that's why you're putting this stuff out here too. So right there with you, spreading the play therapy knowledge to as many people as possible.
Thank you for doing that. Cause I mean, I know what that takes to make that happen.
Yeah, totally.
So you are really, you're helping change the world and bring us all together to really make a bigger impact on helping.
Yeah. Well, ditto for you, for sure. As far as the synergetic focused trainings go, so at the Play Therapy Institute of Colorado, we have on site, we have 7 times a year, we do 6-day training intensives where therapists can come out and actually work with a child and get supervision from 2 supervisors. It's really hands-on. It's really family-oriented. It's like people that just want to like jump in. That's definitely a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also
want to go to that. You said it's right there in Colorado, like on site. Where at Colorado?
Beautiful Boulder.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's funny. I bet it's cold there right now. I'm like calling you from Florida. That sounds amazing. And that's how long is the training?
6 days.
Mm.
Yeah. And we do some where it's like 2 weekends, and then we have some where it's a week, and then the week ones are seven days, and then we give you a day in between to take a breather and go explore a little bit and regulate yourself halfway through. So that's an option. The other option,
you find that like playtherapycolorado.com, or like where can you sign up for that training?
Yep, 2 websites, playtherapycolorado.com or synergeticplaytherapy.com is the other website. The other big training, which is really popular, is our 6-month online intro course. So you don't have to come to Boulder, right? It comes to you. And that course is really cool in that you get a 2.5-hour video module once a month for 6 months. And every month you also get individualized consultation to help you integrate what you're learning. So that's a really cool way to learn. And again, it's
very convenient too.
Exactly. And then there's a certification program, and we have training centers in Boulder and Vancouver and Melbourne is launching this fall of 2018. So that's another place where people can jump on board and get curious and go for this energetic play therapy certificate if that's something that's meaningful for them. So. Yeah.
Lisa, you have just, you've changed the world with this. That's amazing. Well, it's much bigger than I imagined too. Okay, so you totally got me wanting to get trained in this.
Well, here's another fun thing too. So some of the listeners who are familiar may already have my book called Integrating Extremes, which was picked up by Norton Publishing, and it is going to be double in length, released this spring, called Aggression in Play Therapy, a neurobiological approach for integrating intensity. So if you like the neuroscience, oh my gosh, that is an entire book on the co-regulation and the neuroscience and all this stuff we're talking about related to how to integrate aggression and intensity in the room. So that's coming out this spring.
This sounds like a good book to take on a cruise and just read for relaxation. Because when you say that, it's funny. I know so many people listening to this are going to be like, oh my gosh, she's just like me. I know I was reading Parenting Through Divorce. And my daughter's like, Mom, put it down on the cruise. Okay, so that book is coming out, but you already have a book out. I'll put all these links in the show notes so people can just go grab them at playtherapycommunity.com.
Awesome, Jackie.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Lisa. Wow, I feel like I met somebody amazing today.
Well, likewise.
All right. Well, you take it easy and you stay warm up there in Colorado, okay?
All right. Thank you to all your listeners who are tuning in also.
Oh, thank you.
To join our growing community for free, just go to playtherapycommunity.com and find us on Facebook too.
Thanks for listening to the Play Therapy Community podcast. Until next time, bye-bye.